You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies, a wrap-up podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohn. You're in the, as always, my co-host, Alice Ali. How are you?
I blinked, and it's episode 12. Like, is that feel right to you, or did that feel like it went by very quickly?
So, it feels right, but it's also, I think it feels farther along because we're still only 12 of, what, 19? So we still are got a ways away here to get to the end. But yeah, I think this feels about right.
I mean, yeah, so almost two-thirds of the way through. I don't know. I guess it's just something about 12 episodes hit me. I was like, oh, damn.
Was it seeing all the reunion popping up on the Twitter timeline? Did that get you thinking, wow, we're already there?
Wow, you think I follow all these people? No, I had to look at the Twitter today for social media, and then I was like, oh, they're filming the reunion.
No Corey. No Ashley, apparently. Wonder if means about Ashley. I don't know. Ooh. Hopefully, you don't know, but apparently Ashley wasn't there. It was the conversation on the streets.
So this episode is interesting to me because I watched this episode. I enjoyed this episode. I thought, you know, the outcome ended up being very predictable, but I enjoyed the ride. I love the teams. I'm still on a high. And then I went to pull the questions from our great listeners. Thanks to everyone who sends us questions at our Google form. I've never, in the 7 years we've been doing this podcast, have never seen such consistently negative questions, not towards us, but, you know, and we'll see. I pulled some of them, but just to give you the temperature of the audience.
Yep.
CT, Tori, general, everyone is getting just like, why does this person suck? Why does this person suck? Emmy seemed like she really went more wild. Are they protecting her? Why is this like the most boring outcome? We got one question that we'll talk about that was like, I'm actually happy the vets are dominating. But generally, every single of the like 30 questions I went through was extremely negative towards this episode and all of the vets. How about that?
So I get it. I mean, I feel like we've all been kind of waiting for like the vet thing to break down, and then I thought we were getting it, but now it's still here, but like it feels here for like a different reason, but nonetheless, it's still a rookie versus a rookie elimination. I think I don't want to like give the challenge a break, but it does feel like they're also kind of being a little unlucky. Like I know they're kind of doing it a little to themselves with not evening up the teams in these dailies, but it is still a little bit unlucky that they've won each one. Again, that's on them, but like if Emerald didn't win each time, things would be a little bit different each time. So it's just a little unfortunate the way that's kind of broken out.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe I'm the fool because I'm just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine too. I enjoyed this episode. I found Emmy kind of be annoying, but I mean, there's always, you know, I don't think she was supposed to be likable in this episode, so that's fine. But I was fine with it. I don't know. I also feel like there's a lot of negativity surrounding reality shows. Like Survivor, I feel like has a lot of negativity surround it. Like the challenges, I feel like people just want things to go back to a certain way with reality TV, and people are like very upset with where things are. And I don't know how we shake that.
That makes me think of Corey in the challenge. She's like, I gave Josh a little shake. Like, love that expression. Yeah, another shake. I thought we were going to get questions about Emmanuel's great intro the previously on, because last week I didn't pull this, but somebody was saying like the previously on was phoned in. So they hit you with a Emmanuel dressed as Tori booty shake intro. And, you know, and I'm not mad at the audience. Listen, far be it from me to be like, people are too negative. I was like, maybe I'm not being negative enough. What's going on? But yeah, people are not finding the joy. We need to find the Mitch watch of the episode for them, so to speak.
Maybe just make the whole episode. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box? Why don't they make the whole episode out of the Mitch watch?
I mean, hire us, cowards.
I don't know, but I do get it. I do, because, like, again, like, we ended up with rookie versus rookie, but I felt like there were pretty legitimate reasons why we ended up here. This didn't feel like it was episode 5 all over again. Like, it felt like there was a legitimate reason for Emmy to want to go in, or they wanted to throw Patina in, and I felt like there was some risk that Amanda might go in, and I felt like she played well to stay out of it. So, like, it felt different than the way it used to be with the rookie just up for the slaughter.
I agree. I think also something I will say that was sort of frustrating is, like, it was a bit of Boston Robs, so to speak, like playing with newborn babies.
Right.
Like, there was so much heavy manipulation / good gameplay from CT, from Amanda, from Devin, from Tori. And they were just running circles around Emmy and Bettina. And they continue to. And that can be like not as fun. It's definitely more fun to watch two people with experience, two sharper people play. But on the after show, I think it's Darrell, makes the point that CT has said that the people who come from Survivor, whether it's Survivor Romania or Survivor US and Big Brother, they're not rookies. They've played social strategy games before. So the fact that Emmy is able to be so manipulated by these vets is really a kudos to the vets. It's not really like an abuse, you know, like, right. she has played Survivor for a million days. So yeah. I can see that frustration, but this is something we got a lot. Shelby Hindmiller says this: overall, I'm not sure if this was a great episode. Everyone seems to be piling on Bettina and how terrible she was, how she could never beat Emmy. I found many people overall unlikable and kind of mean this episode. What did you think? Was the piling on of Bettina too much this episode?
So was it piling on? I didn't feel like they were piling on that much. I thought, if anything, there was a lot of clips of like Corey trying to build her up. We got a few confessionals of trying to, you know, build Bettina up. We had a scene of Tori trying to build her up. So I didn't think, if anything, they were knocking Bettina down. I thought the consistency of knocking Big T down has almost gotten a little over the top. I think, you know, CT, we get it. You're not her biggest fan. I don't think you need to say it in every confessional you have. So I would say that's kind of gone more too far. I thought Bettina, I didn't think it was too far. I don't know. I obviously, during the elimination, there was a lot of, you know, talk to smack about her, but she was doing so poorly. Like, what else are you going to talk about? So, but leading up to that, I didn't think it was too over the top.
Well, we get a scene where, like, Amanda is reporting that Emmy has said Bettina doesn't deserve to be here. Bettina is like a cringe that she's here. She's a terrible rookie, and I'll take her out myself. And then the edit made it seem like Bettina could hear that conversation. And then, you know, she later says, like, Amanda's talking about me and blah, blah, blah to Corey. I think what we were supposed to get from this episode maybe is, like, she's alone in the house and alienated, perhaps, sure, by Emmy and Corey. Those were great scenes with Corey, we'll talk about, but I definitely thought they were unfair to Bettina, like, especially because Bettina is the reason that Corey and Bettina were able to win their elimination. So I didn't think Bettina really deserved to be, like, dunked on so harshly. But then when she can't back it up in the elimination, like you said, what else are they gonna say?
Right. So, I mean, I guess I would say the piling on, but I felt that, like you kind of said, it was more just Emmy piling it on than other people then using it, because, like, Amanda had to use it. Like, she didn't, like, go out of her way to, like, make Bettina feel like crap. She felt her back was against the wall, and this was, like, her best way to stay out of elimination was to pit Emmy and Bettina further against each other. So I don't knock Amanda for, like, thinking she was like bullying her or anything like that. So I thought that was just her doing what she could to stay out of elimination. And if anything, it was just all just Emmy was the one saying it. And then everyone else kind of took it for their own gameplay.
And I think part of it also is like Bettina, you know, when they were saying, we don't know who you're going to pick, and that makes us nervous. Like, they were completely not even acting to her face. Like, they thought there was a chance that she would come back. Mm-hmm. And so that can be demoralizing, but
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. This episode was tough because I enjoyed it, but reading all the feedback, I'm like, oh, maybe it was not great. I don't know. But
it definitely wasn't like the best episode by any stretch. We've had better pretty recently. But again, it just, you know, it was unfortunate that Emerald won. And again, like I said, the challenge does that to themselves because if they made the teams even for this one, maybe we have a different result. But, you know, that's on them.
Let's clean up the mess made from last week when Kyle switched over. Nelson comes in so hot.
Yep.
Confronting Kyle here. Do you think Nelson had a leg to stand on?
So he's pissed. Again, everyone here is like always upset about not being told. Like, that just seems like the biggest thing for everyone. Like, they don't care if you get snaked, but he's like, we're friends. Like, why didn't you tell me this was a possibility? Which I feel like people should be more upset at the action and not being told. Like, I feel like would Nelson have taken this better if Kyle told him in advance? I think Nelson's gonna be pissed no matter what. So I mean, I guess I could see why he's upset, but I don't understand this fixation on not being told that you're gonna be screwed over rather than being pissed at being screwed over.
Yeah, I think that comes with, it's like when you get dumped and you're like, well, you like, no one ever breaks up with you in the right way, right? It's like, well, you should have told me earlier if you knew earlier, or you shouldn't have texted me. You should have called me, or you should have seen me in person, or you shouldn't have seen me in person. You should have texted me and saved me the time. You know, like, there's no right way to snake someone in a game, or not even snake someone, which is just like do something that will advance your game and will hurt theirs. There's no right way to do that. And so I think it's just like, but you can't get mad at someone for doing it because they haven't done anything wrong. Like, you can't be like, I'm just mad you broke up with me. So it's like Nelson can't just say, you just should have put me above you. So the only thing people can cling to is like, you just didn't do it in the right. I'm not mad that you did it because I'm mature and I understand it's a game, but you did it the wrong way. Okay. Like, whatever. I guess the only sympathy I have for Nelson here is Nelson hasn't had the best luck in these games. He's been on the bottom a lot. He hasn't been able to like play the best strategic games. But he must have felt like he was sitting pretty on Sapphire. I'm with Ed. I'm with CT. I'm with strong women. We're not the biggest threat because we're not Emerald, but we're pretty good. And like Ruby sucks, but also like my best friends on another team if they end up getting power. And this is probably the best position he's ever been in a game. And he just wants it so bad. That's what we love about Nelson. That's what you love about Nelson. And then the rug just gets pulled out from underneath him. And when he's having this moment with Corey, I love this moment with him and Corey. And he says like, oh, this isn't about like that I'm on Ruby. Well, like, yes, it is. It is that you're bad on Ruby, that you went from what you considered an A-plus team to a C team.
Yeah. But what's interesting is, you know, we all thought like Sapphire would be okay. And, you know, going into this episode, CT thinks that they're like on the team he's on is the layup team. So really, like, their star fell super quick, even like regardless of the Nelson Kyle swap, because I think all things it's probably pretty equal. So like the fact that they have just completely fallen apart, that I thought they were very not much with Emerald neck and neck, is truly stunning. Like, again, here I think they finished last in this daily or pretty close to it. So it is very surprising how poorly they have done as a team. So getting out of there should be better.
I don't think they did better. I mean, well, I'm speculating based on nothing that CT might have thrown this challenge. Because if what he's planning is that it's, first of all, it's a women's elimination day. He wants Emmy to go in against Bettina. He's going to lose for that to happen. He can't win. He gets pushed out. Kyle's the one who gets through with money for his team. We're really jumping ahead here, but, and Bettina's the only one who scores. So like, Ashley does seem to be trying when she gets kicked out by Big T and she gets annoyed. But like, Ruby had $0. Sapphire came in second. I don't believe that they're layups. To me, and this is something very unlikable of CT this whole episode, really the whole season, it's like he really just wants a teammate he could control. And Kyle can't be controlled. He's rogue. So it's like, to the extent that you have any like self or autonomy at all, then you make the team weak. You know, like right, he wants right. Nelson, he wants Ed, he wants Emmy, who's a total robot for him. So I didn't buy CT's sob story that they're such layups. They came in last place last week, and that was before Kyle was on their team.
Yeah, I like the theory a lot that CT threw, because it was also a super easy one to throw, especially seeing how Emerald did in the first heat right before them. They got 8,000 of 10,000. So all once CT goes out, I think they guaranteed to lose anyway. Like, I think at that moment, they can't even potentially win. So I do like that theory a lot, especially because he set it up also that he wants Emmy on his team. He'd be fine if they even did like a 2-for-1 swap, basically, with Patina and Amanda for Emmy. So I think that holds a lot of weight.
There's no reason for him to win the challenge based, like, he's not a threat and he doesn't want to protect his team. Honestly, yeah. Emerald is the only people that would have any motivation to win this challenge this week. But yeah, I felt bad for Corey here. I thought he was a good friend to Nelson in this incident.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, Nelson laid down his sword for Corey. They go way back. Their friendship is real. And it's good to see Corey picking up Nelson here.
The drum you've been pounding this whole season, which is really just going to be the theme of the season, whether or not CT wins, mm-hmm. is like, how the hell is CT getting this far? I thought right. this episode was wild because Mr. Short-sighted Kyle is like, I want to run with CT. Everything CT touches turns to win. So I want to go with him there. Like, has he ever seen a season of this show? His certainty that these teams are going to run a final is the only reason I think there's a chance the teams will run in a final. Like, maybe they know this and we don't, because otherwise this is insane.
It's insane. I mean, they literally just changed up the entire format of the season a mere 2 episodes ago. And he thinks, oh, come the final, they might not change it again. Or even there's still, he has to imagine at least 2 more female eliminations to get to the final. So there's not a chance that he might be stolen away or CT could go in and have the lead. Like, how could he be so certain that these are going to be the teams, even if they stick with the teams, that this is going to be his team that he's going to be running with?
The challenge has allowed decimated teams to make the final. Obviously, the famous example of that is Sarah Rice and Kellyanne running a final, the two of them.
But even fairly recently, right? The one that CT won, what, like World of Worlds, wasn't that like 8-on-3 or something like that? And I think they won.
I think it was more than 3, but because they eliminated people
Yes.
But it was right. definitely a big, no, that's right. It was definitely like a 5 or 6 person team when it started versus like a lot more people. But I just don't see how it's going to be 3 teams of between 2 and 6 people. Like, I just thought, like, I don't even want to see that final.
What's of all the challenges, though, the final is the one that sometimes having less people is better. Like, that, like the dailies are the one that are so much usually more skewed if you have more people to help you win. Sometimes in a final, it is better, especially maybe 2 people versus like 8 is not fine, but if it's like 6 versus 4 or 5 versus 3, like if it's a strong 3 against a kind of a weakerish 5, the 3 does have a pretty equal chance, if not sometimes a better chance to win. So of all the things that could be disproportionately balanced of the teams, the final is the one that I think could stand it. It's the dailies now that are like, you have 1 team of 6, 1 team of 4. I mean, I don't know. They have to get creative with these dailies to make it even like viable at this point.
Well, that's what we talked about the entire US, UK or the world season, where like, you know, you trim the fat and then you're just like a lean machine in the end, as opposed to too many cooks. Like if the Emerald team, the 6 of them, were to go to the final, it would be an absolute clusterfuck disaster. Yeah. Like there's no, those 6 people running a final together versus CT and his robots on a team of 4, of course. Mm-hmm. And that would be frustrating like it was then, because to have a team, not that I'm rooting for Emerald because they make it really hard to root for them, but to have a team win, and then be punished basically by having too many people in the final would, to me, not be satisfying. So like, again, I don't want to watch these 3 teams in the final. I will say that now. I'm going to be upset if the 3 teams go to the final.
The one thing I'll say is I think, yes, they're win. And it's kind of maybe be unfair to get them screwed, but they're also, if they win and don't do anything about like their power to make the other teams worse, then I have no sympathy. Like if they allow like that new Sapphire foursome, and they don't try to take a shot at knocking out Ashley or knocking out Cece, like, then that's on them. Then they 100% deserve to lose. If they're just using their power to knock out Patina and some of these other people that like aren't going to be that consequential for a final, then I won't have sympathy. But if they are taking their shots at least, then it's one thing. But if they're not, then that's on them.
Well, who are the men even left? CT, Kyle, Corey, and Nelson. So if we think at least two more men are...
Logan.
Logan's there. I'm so sorry, Logan.
Yeah.
Well, all right, barely. So there's more people.
But give it next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Funny comment from Hannah Lidsky, owner of Rehabgrams on Instagram. Big T to Kyle. I think anyone in your position would want to be on CT's team. I would have done the same thing. Also, Big T had the chance to be on CT's team from the beginning and chose Ruby.
Yeah. Regrets that, I bet.
Well, speaking of regret with the team selection, right, is like Emmy and CT have this conversation where CT, as we mentioned, cooks up this plan for Emmy to get come onto his team. CT like told Emmy to go to Ruby.
Yeah. And I know Emmy's strong, like winning three eliminations is great. I think this is a super dangerous game that CT is playing. If you see Emmy when she gets flustered in these dailies or in a final, like I think this is like a time bomb that could blow up in his face. And I don't think this is the right person for him to like latch himself onto. I think it's gonna take him down. I think that's not the right person for CT to be hitching his wagon to with Emmy. I don't think it's the right pair.
Interesting. I think he knows that he can control her and can like in the way that like he could train Big T. I think he sees like Emmy has better raw materials as his he's determined. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't think it's that chaotic of a move. Like I think he's in such a good spot regardless. Like he can exert way more control over Emmy than Amanda. So it's like, and he could get rid of his weakest player who he probably views as the reason he's losing.
Yeah, I think he could definitely control Emmy's vote and decision making a lot more than an Amanda. I think Amanda will be much more open to listen to him and be of clearer focus in a final and not get flustered like I could see Emmy being. And I think for CT, he should not be as concerned with the votes and more concerned with final and how they perform under pressure. And I think Emmy has shown signs of cracking and look and being flustered and stuff like that, especially in a team setting where it's not all on her. So that would be my one concern.
See, that's so interesting. You're right. Like you're right that Emmy is like more of a loose cannon, but when I say control, I do mean like in a final and like give directions and totally step off for puzzles. And I think Amanda cannot be, is not as malleable like that in challenges or in the final.
I would love to see it. I don't think Amanda's ever made a final, right? So I would love to see her get there this time around. I think this was her best strategic episode. I think she's really had like her best season. So I would love to see her in the final because I hate to throw the round deserve, but I feel like she deserves to make it.
Michelle Marshy on the CT front. I agree with you. I would be sad to see Amanda go at this point. I was sad to see her go off of Sapphire to Ruby. But we'll get there. Michelle Marshy says, it's starting to really bother me that CT has not been on a single Aftermath episode. It's getting harder to believe that he fits in with the cast when all we ever see is him trying to advance his game. Does he think it's too beneath him? It's getting harder to root for him. He's not bringing any chemistry or pizzazz this season.
Yeah, I do wonder where he fits in this world. Like, does he just show up here for work and then just go back to his, you know, his kid, his family? Like, I don't know how much he's hanging out, like, with Kyle or Corey or going to, like, the bar scene. Like, I think that's probably past him. So, but, like, he does enough. Like, people, like, it's not like he's out of the loop that people don't want to work with him. It's he is the most desired to work with. So maybe him staying out of the post-show drama is better for him.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I do wonder, like, what's going to happen with, like, the move of people like Wes and potentially Bananas at some point, and Darrell, like, people who had been on current seasons moving to All-Stars. Like, are they, like, this edit has just been very unflattering to CT, right? Like, I love CT, and he's sort of hard to root for in the last few seasons. I wonder if MTV is, like, ready to sort of age out of him, pop him on All-Stars, and let the new kids go. Because, like, he's not even really... I mean, they don't cut him out when he's making key strategic decisions like this, but in terms of, as Michelle says, the chemistry or pizzazz this season, he's not getting a lot of, like, fun scenes or good moments.
No. No, he's not. He's barely even in those, like, montages of people working out and stuff. Yeah, he's not, like, in the mix. He's just, like, you know, a mercenary and just comes in and, you know, wins $500,000 and no one does anything about it. But he's just there. It's like, okay, CT's here. He's winning. We'll just, you know, plan around him.
It was crazy because I'm writing in my notes, like, the manipulation as he's talking to Emmy, and then he goes to confessional, like, I don't want to be on the line of manipulation. Mm-hmm. But it's like, in this moment, it's like, yeah, CT is smart, and so he's not going to throw himself in. But if you don't like your team, CT, you go down there. Like, convincing poor Emmy, who's now for a third time going to face an elimination, to make your team 1% better. Like, to your point, like, it's not even like that. To risk her game for something that's only a marginal benefit to you is like key, like, peak selfishness.
Yeah, poor Emmy. She was, like, spun around like a top. She was like, I am not going in. I don't feel comfortable. She walked out of the conversation with everyone. I am ready to go in. Oh, poor Emmy. She was, rookie's going to rookie, I guess.
Yeah. I do think one of the things that's making the vets seem dislike for some people, again, like, I think I agree with you. Like, we're seeing really good gameplay from the vets. So I don't think this episode is like an episode two episode, like, where we're just vets loyal to vets. Like, we're seeing strategy happen here. It's not just two rookies being thrown in. But I think part of what's hard about it is that it just completely left my brain. What the hell, Allie? Is that it's more of like it's like it almost feels like a playing scared. Like, you want a name redacted person who's going to, like, flip all of the tiles once in a while and throw themselves in. Like, is it a good game move? No. But you want a Priscilla who's like, I'm going to go in, and if I'm going to go in, then I'm going to call out Ashley. Like, damn, that's cool. That's fun. And the vets are too smart to do any of that shit. Like Devin says, the rookies play with their emotions. Like, but sometimes it's fun to watch people play with their emotions and make bold, ballsy decisions. Instead, we're watching CT push, like, a young woman to risk her game instead of himself, like, showing up down there. Later, when Nelson's freaking out to Kyle, it's because he's scared. And Ashley, of all people, is like, if you don't like your position, go in and win an elimination. Like, really, Ashley? No one's more scared to go into a lair than you. Amanda, great gameplay again, but all to avoid elimination. And again, that is good gameplay, but it's, like, not the, like, heroic thing that you want to root for. And I think we're just watching all of the veterans just, like, cover their ass. And that's, like, not always that fun.
Yeah. And not only are the vets too smart for it, but they were also very smart looking back. They feel like they really targeted the right rookies to get them out. Like, we talked about how the Survivor people are more savvy for this world. They made it a point, get them all out early. Like, they had a mission, the people that seemed that were ready to take on power positions, like a Kells, like, get him out early. So, like, they left the people in the game of the rookies that were either weaker or more malleable to be manipulated by them, and they got out the people that could be the rookie leaders early, and we're seeing the consequences of that.
It's why people say Survivor One World is one of the worst seasons, because when you're watching a dominating winner, they make it look easy, you know, like it's not as like muddy and fun. And I do think we're sort of seeing that. But again, I've liked the past few episodes, so I'm just kind of trying to put myself in the critic's shoes.
Yeah, I mean, the team format has been far superior to the crappy pair format. So this has definitely made it a much more enjoyable watch. There's no doubt about that.
How are the ratings? We haven't had a ratings update in a while.
I have not seen anything about that since like the first couple episodes. So I don't know how the ratings have been. I can't imagine that great. I feel like I would imagine it starts better and then gets worse as the season goes on. People fall off. So if it wasn't great to begin with, I can't imagine it's good right now.
I mean, the only thing I was thinking is like, and I don't know how people would hear about this, but once they switch to the team format, like to me, if I were like two episodes in, I mean, imagine me like turning off a TV show. That's never happened. But if I were a normal person and I was like two episodes in, I was like, forget it. I'm not watching. And then my friend was like, oh, it's actually just getting good. You should rejoin. I like think it would be totally reasonable to rejoin two episodes ago.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I'm sure that the ratings don't reflect that.
I said that exact same thing when Mara was on. I was like, this is basically the season premiere. Like, this is like a new season. You could like they basically, you know, they pick teams randomly. They did the whole format. Like, that could have been episode one and we wouldn't have known anything different. So 100%.
I do want to, we talked about the Bettina and Corey conversation, but I had said when we saw this bucket hat appear last time that there's something about this hat that just makes me want it. It's disgusting. It's absolutely ugly. But like, I want this hat. And so much so that I went to the MTV merch website and the yoga mats there, the water bottle that's pictured there. There's a beanie. The bucket hat is not there. Like, why are you having these people wear it if you can't purchase this merchandise? Like, I thought that was the point.
Leaves you wanting more. They're going to put it up there. $100 a pop. They're going to get you.
I mean, part of me was like, did they already sell out two episodes ago? But it's not even like indicated that it's sold out. But like,
now the demand's out there. So tweet out MTV, put the bucket hat online.
I mean, I'm on the website again. A lot of merch, a lot of decent merch. The tote pack leaves a lot to be desired. I'm not going to lie, as a connoisseur of tote bags. But I have just noticed so much more product placement this episode, this season. But alas, no bucket hat for me. Anyway, so keep an eye out if anyone sees it. Mm. I'm willing to pay, I don't know, what, like $22 for it? Like that. And I'll never wear it. It would be so embarrassing to wear. Where would I ever wear that?
You would have to wear it to like a specific event. Like if you were going
to, that's worse.
No, I would say like a challenge specific event. Like it is
worse.
Like, is that ironic to wear it to that? Or is that like nerdy? Isn't nerdy kind of ironic? That's
so lame.
Flame.
You know, Alex Chester, he doesn't wear, he thinks it's like embarrassing to wear sporting like jerseys and whatever to that team's event. I'm like, that's a little extreme, but it's like, I would never wear a challenge bucket hat to like an RHAP like know-it-alls event. That would be so humiliating.
All right, I'll make sure to hide mine the next time I show.
It's like peacocking. It's like, ask me about this hat. Like, oh, why, yes. Like, I do a podcast for the challenge. It's like, I was just asking where the bathroom was. You know, like, it's just, it's not it. It's not it.
Well, what is it? 500 episodes for the challenge. We got that wrong, or I got that wrong based on the preview. I could have sworn it said TJ's, but it's the challenge.
Well, we also tried to do the math.
Yeah, I don't know. IMDb had it wrong. Maybe they're including some of the Pros versus Joe seasons in there, so that's why the number was higher.
Oh my god, that's humiliating for us that we accidentally succumbed to that. We don't even acknowledge. I'll spoil this. On the after show, they asked a question. They did some trivia, and it was like, what are the challenge spinoffs? And I was like, there are no challenge spinoffs. I like so deeply don't acknowledge them that I forgot they existed.
I still find it amazing that they were able to, like, I mean, seemingly do it at this episode to know it was gonna be the 500th episode when there's been to be continues and stuff. Like, how do they know this was gonna be the 500th one? Did they just record that at every challenge, like for the next like plus or minus a couple, and then just air it for this one?
No. Well, there was I was laughing because I was like, in true, they said we're going back to our roots for a headbanger challenge, and like in true going back to our roots fashion, it was done in voiceover. But no, I don't think they like broke the fourth wall and like thanked everyone for watching every single challenge. I think, you know, contrary to popular belief, these episodes are very planned out, very well planned out.
Yeah, good for MTV, I guess, for having a production crew.
But you're right, to the extent that they've like lost a lot of people, but they always intended to lose pairs. So when they lost like a woman, they just had a one person elimination, and then like we're still on schedule.
Sure. So what'd you make of this challenge? It was called Brush Contact. First, the three or two guys started with money bags. They had to cross a field. They were facing another team to block them to their women on the other side. Then they had to take those bags plus a few extra and race them across again the other side of the field. I think it was a total of like $10,000 in these few bags. I was very surprised that like the winning, there wasn't like a bonus pool, right? Like the winning team gets to keep the cash. Like I was waiting for that. Like, why are you using this for money? Not just have that be like the prize. But I guess it was just for show.
We did get that question, especially because it was the 500th episode. Michelle Margie said, did you feel like this episode properly honored the 500th episode? Why didn't they win the money in the bags?
Yeah, it's a totally fair question. And it doesn't understand it. Why even make it denominations of money? Just use like, I don't know, balls or like rocks. Like, who the hell cares? If you're going to use money, just let them keep the money.
Yeah, it could have just been points. Literally how it was, just like could've three been, dots
yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Literally
like
anything, yeah.
I think it's like the spy theme. They want to say that, but like in terms of a couple of things to break down. One, did we like the challenge? But first, in terms of it being an honoring of the 500th episode, it's sort of a weird milestone to mark. Like I would expect more like with season 30 or season 40, something like that. 500th episode. I think they could have even just marked it in the after show. I did think it was cute that they broke, like, I thought the breaking of the fourth wall was a little stupid until TJ was like, we appreciate you. And I was like, oh, TJ, I love that.
Yeah, 500 is weird because obviously there's not a lot of things in life that are celebrated a 500th anniversary of, so it's not a lot of precedent.
Peloton rides like, and episodes.
Like, I feel like once you get past 100, like, obviously, like, every 100's like a cell. Like a celebration, 250. But I feel like there's not another big one until you get to like 1,000. Like, I don't know. Are we going to have a celebration at the 750th? Like, it's just a weird, like, I know 500 is because it's like a round number, but I don't know. What's like the anniversary gift for a 500th anniversary?
So I mean, that's fair. I don't take, that wasn't my issue. Like, I think it's a milestone. And maybe this goes to your point. I found it hard to contextualize. Like, I wanted to be like, hey, Siri, how many episodes of Survivor have there been? Or like, how many episodes of Will and Grace have there been? Like, I know like years, 100 is a marker for usually for like syndication for sitcoms when like before streaming was a thing. I have no concept of how many reality shows have hit 500 episodes.
Yeah, they should have hit on more. It should have been like, this is our 500th episode. We've been to 38 countries. We've had 1,000 people, whatever, do this. We've had given out this much money. Like, just saying 500 episodes is like, okay. They needed to, like, add to show, like, grandness of what the show has lasted for this many seasons.
So, yeah, I agree with you. So maybe what they did in the episode was fine, but the after show, did you watch the after show?
I watched it to try to find the votes, and I just, like, I didn't have the patience to watch it. So
oh, yeah, they have stopped revealing the votes, by the way.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. I was skipping along. I was, like, looking for the thing to pop up, and then I ended up catching like, a couple minutes here or there, and I saw, like, balloons on the ground. I'm like, oh, I guess they did some type of celebration.
But not really. Like, to talk about it now, because in terms of what they did for 500, like, they all wore party hats. Darrell showed up, and he had clearly not seen the season, or at least this episode, which is wild. So, like, Darrell was there to, like, be like, how do you feel about it being 500 episodes? And, like, that's it. Otherwise, it was just, like, a normal episode with, like, a cake and party hats. And then they did challenge trivia. I do think like if they wanted to market, they could have done more. Then they also dropped this weird like 3-minute clip of people like talking about their best memories. Michelle and I were talking about this in like Facebook chat, but it's like they had Ed when he was at his after show, like record
Who's
a clip.
Michelle?
Like, Michelle Marshy, who asked this question.
Are you talking like Survivor Michelle about this? Like, what's happening?
No, certainly not. So, no, but it's like they did this like 3-minute clip that you had to watch like 1,000 commercials before. I thought the episode accidentally dropped early. Like, it looked like an episode, and it was just like 10 people of like very importance to the challenge give it like being like the best memory was when like TJ came back after his accident, which like that's obviously like really important and whatever. But it was all people who are like currently involved. So like Tina, like you could tell probably from when they like filmed a confessional during her filming All Stars, they were like, oh yeah, give a quick message to TJ. We're going to use this, like that kind of thing.
Yep. Yep. Got it. Got it.
A little bit of an afterthought. So, no, they didn't properly honor the 500th episode to the extent that they wanted to honor it, but I don't think they needed to honor it either.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But the challenge.
It's fine. Yeah. So what did you, I liked it a lot. I thought it was actually pretty cool. It wasn't, I don't get like the throwback headbanger. I thought like the throwback would have been like if they did something goofy, like them with the ice block or something. I don't know how this was like super old school. I guess because it was in like a field maybe. But I liked it. I thought it was, you know, it played well. I guess it was a bummer to see Emerald just kind of cruise to a win, which kind of took some of the drama out of it. But in conceptual with the smoke and the crossing the lines, it was fun.
Yeah. Now my tinfoil hat's on. I'm like, maybe they did do this before every single challenge. Like they just added the voiceover. Like it's old school. Cause it was an old school. Uh-huh. You're right. I thought it was a really clever way to do a physical challenge with co-ed teams. Like we've seen them do this with the pairs when they had to run in and get the balls and it was like well timed that it was sort of like man, woman. I think they've been doing a lot of really clever things like that. This is definitely one of them. But Caitlin Glancy says, was this the most frustrating example of a challenge where you could easily sit a person out so the numbers would be even and fair?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Easily could have sat someone out, you know, especially on offense or defense. You have to sit out a guy or a girl, whoever it might be, to even it out. They easily could have done it. 100%. I also thought it was kind of cool. Like normally when the challenge does something like this with like a guy's heat and a girly connected, they always have the guy's heat for last. Like it's like the more important part. I thought it was kind of cool that they swapped it this time and had the guys go first. It's almost like the afterthought. Like really clearly seemingly the more important part was like the girl's heat. I did appreciate that they swapped it like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. One thing that I was confused about until the end of the first heat really is like what was required on defense. Like at first I wasn't sure if just like tackling them would be enough. Mm-hmm. If you'd have to get the bag, if you'd have to throw the bag out of bounds. Like to me, it ended up being too little that you could just grab the bag and that was enough that they like didn't get to keep fighting over the bag. Like I kind of thought maybe the defense should have had to bring it to the safe zone so that it wasn't just like we ripped it out of your hands and now it's dead. So that was, you know, but I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, I did wish there was like a way to earn points on defense because clearly like it was over almost immediately with how Emerald did with getting 8,000. So I wish there was like a way when you're on defense again, like you get as many points as the other team doesn't get theoretically. So I thought that would be a kind of a cool way to keep it interesting on both sides of it. But, you know, fuck either. I think Emerald probably still would have won anyway, but at least it would have had something.
Yeah. And I think that's a really great add, especially if you equalize the teams, because then it is like, yeah, Emerald would have slaughtered them both times. But I already talked about thinking that CT threw it. I loved how he said he was understaffed.
Yeah, very funny. Did you see? So I have my new favorite Twitter account, Challenge Stats.
I'm following them. You did a great promo for them.
So you saw their tweet about Nelson because it is like the most preposterous thing. So he loses again this week. Nelson. I wish you didn't see because I would have you guess. But like for everyone playing at home, if you didn't see my tweet, think of a number. How many consecutive dailies has Nelson lost? Think of how big that number could be.
Oh, it wasn't all challenges. It's like just dailies. It doesn't include just his dailies. Eliminations.
Not eliminations. Just like in a position to gain power to vote someone in. Nelson, with this week included, has lost 46 consecutive challenges. That is mind-boggling. The next closest he said, whoever this Twitter account is, was I think Wes at like 22. Like he is doubled the next closest longest losing streak, and there is no end in sight. Like it is unbelievable that this guy cannot gain power in like anything. I would love to know the last time he gained power, like what he did with it. Like, well, what God did he upset that like he did something that he could never do it again? It's 46 consecutive. I mean, like he's been a part of so many seasons where it's individual pairs, teams, groups of three, groups of seven, groups of four, two teams. How has he never won? It's unbelievable.
Do, That was a hilarious thing. Is there a world where that's all of his challenges? Like, has he ever been in power?
That's a great question. I would imagine he had to have been. At least once.
Because that's like, okay, if we say 13 challenges a season, roughly, like, and that's when, that includes when he's like, but oh, I guess that's only when he's like left. Like, let's say he only lasts like 6 episodes. It would only be those 6. Yeah, that's fascinating. And maybe it adds more context to why he gets so mad at Kyle for, like, he thinks he's, like, finally going to, like, be on the up, and then he gets put on the trash team. Which I don't agree that it's a trash team, but that's the generally accepted thought.
Like, I wish the people on the show knew this, because I feel like this, they would be, like, ragging on him all the time. Like, I feel like Nelson, like, he's Nelson. He's a good competitor. He wins all these eliminations. You want him on your team. Like, this needs to be talked about in the house. Like, is Nelson ever going to win a daily again? Like, how could we get him over the hump? Like, what's going to happen? Like, this needs to be a thing on the show. I wish, like, MTV would have seen this and, like, kind of like a counter, like, in the bottom left corner, and every daily, like, picks up next week, 47 consecutive. Like, I want to see how high he can grow.
Do you think if they make it to 50, they'll do more fanfare than they did for the 500th?
I mean, that's crazy. Wait, think about it. He's lost this show, 500 episodes, so daily per episode. He's lost almost a tenth of the entire series dailies in a row.
And it's more than that, because, like, there's no daily in, like, the final or something. Right. There's a lot of, we did 2 seasons of only one challenge every 2 episodes.
It's like Tom Brady with Super Bowls, that, like, how many he's been in. Like, he's just the entirety of Super Bowls. Nelson is the entirety of challenge daily losses. Like, you look back on time, Nelson lost the daily. It's crazy.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Well, we'll be, I mean, we had champagne on ice for Leroy that, you know, that ended was just up being for him sad winning. Drinking.
Yeah, that was him winning a final. At least Leroy won some dailies along the way. Like, Nelson wins a daily. Like, big celebration. Let's do it.
Yeah, get your champagne ready. I feel it coming at some point.
It's crazy.
Will it be this season? Will it be this season?
I say no. I don't think he may.
No end in sight. I'm left.
He might not win to All Stars. Does that even count? I don't think so. It's not proper.
I don't think so. No, if he, there was so much press on, like, I finally made a final, or I could do well in this final on All Stars. Like, I think we said we don't acknowledge it, but, like, I think if Nelson, if Nelson never wins a daily in his regular season play and then wins a daily in All Stars, we will acknowledge him. If the podcast doesn't exist at that time, we will get on the air and we will release a podcast acknowledging it as a win.
There was also another, this person did an update for this week, but who do you think of this cast was the most talked about person through the season?
Oh, through the whole season?
At least through last week. They didn't include this week, but through last week.
Ooh, is it a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
Is it Emmy? I was thinking it was Amber, but now I'm like, is it Emmy?
Emmy was in third, so I guess maybe now Emmy could be in first after this week, but as of last week, Emmy was in third.
Is Amber in the top three?
Amber's number one.
Now that's so shocking, because she wasn't even there in the first couple of episodes.
That's right. They have people, like, all people, so they have, like, all the way at the bottom, 2 mentions, Hunter. Not even on the show. No. He's on there. Hunter was mentioned more than Lauren, who was on the show.
Give the what's the handle for this account?
It's a challenge stats. Great handle. Can't believe they got that. Unbelievable.
I mean, you couldn't even get Brian Cohen. They got challenge stats.
They got challenge stats. Good for them. Just an incredible account.
I was telling a bad date that you were like a Yankee Stan account, and it's not fair to say it was a bad date. Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not listening to this.
Well, if I came up in the conversation, how good could it possibly be?
And he was like, what's the handle? And then I felt like an idiot being like, at Cohen Brian _.
Don't forget the _.
I said it. I said it.
Quick breakdown of the 45, and then we'll get back to the episode.
Please.
It was 10 individual, 24 paired. 24 paired.
Now, do they have the breakdown of which, like, was it, yes, like 10 with do. The same? Okay, so great. They have the breakdown is great.
So they have the breakdown of who the pairs were with, not how many were with each. So the pairs were with Shane, Anissa, Amber M, Priscilla, and Big T. And then 11
fair
team
enough.
Challenges.
Like,
yeah, so there were not a lot of, you know, Emily Strom is not in the mix in any of these. So
and 11 teams.
And 11 team. And then, so now add a 12th team loss to the mix after this week.
12 teams.
Unbelievable. 12 teams. And some of those teams are like, I think he was on seasons with just two teams, right? I think so. I have to go back and remember, but was he, maybe he was on that like War of the, well, I don't think so, because he wasn't.
I was trying to think what was the other team.
I don't know. Maybe, like, I guess because he wasn't on like some of the seasons where there was like a one team that dominated. If they were, he was on it. He wouldn't. it's crazy.
Do we know, if he ever did win, did yes. he betray Jimmy in some way? Like, there's a curse upon him.
So it's interesting. So yeah, this guy has it all. So it said, Kyle hasn't won a team challenge since War of the Worlds 2, the mission that Bananas and Laurel threw on purpose. So Bananas and Laurel put the curse on Nelson. They cursed Nelson.
Oh, I thought you said Kyle. Okay, so...
No, Bananas and Laurel.
So Nelson won...
Because and Laurel
someone threw it. A challenge. Yeah,
so what was last time he won a legitimate challenge? I can't get over this. Nelson also had a really creepy confessional too, like an old school, like I don't even remember what he said. He was
I'm
like,
gonna
oh,
get
like,
your I'm ass.
Yeah,
I'm
that was, he was doing like a weird thing with his hands. It was a zoom in. It was like, Nelson, don't do that.
I mean, I laughed at that, but yeah, it was
very funny, but
out.
It was a little creepy.
I'm coming for that ass, is what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy 500th. I'm coming for that ass. I wanted, you know what? But again, it's amazing because only Nelson could really just like not get disheartened by that. Like that is an unbelievable statistic that if anyone is acutely aware of it, it's Nelson. Mm-hmm. And yet he goes into confessionals knowing he's going to continue his almost 50 like challenge loss streak and says like, well, I'm coming for that ass. Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to lose again.
I mean, think about how much shame James put on Stephanie when she lost, what was that, like seven like immunity challenges in a row, and then she went on a whole nother season and won plenty. But James like shamed her for like the entire season for being this big curse that like she can never win. Could you imagine if James was on the challenge and he learned that Nelson lost 46 consecutive dailies? He would lock him in a room and like put him like a buffalo boy.
What a specific example. Can you imagine if James was on the... I like that you know that there's no way James knows that now.
No. But he would be good at the challenge.
He would have to show up and then learn this information.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so Emerald wins. They don't get to keep the money.
Yeah, I was upset about that, but
anything
what are you gonna
do? Anything of note? I thought, not to give Josh credit, which I don't like to do, but... Probably his most impressive showing, steamrolling Kyle. That was pretty good. Good for him.
Yeah, I also liked Ruby's strategy when they had sort of Nelson and Corey run as bait, but they overthought it because like they put the 4,000, it was not good.
Yeah. I think Logan was like three steps from the line, and if they were having to throw a pass, all he had to do was like take a step forward. I think he would have gotten it, but it was very funny to see him like throw a pass. It was a great throw.
Was probably Ruby's worst performance, though, like the way the women just get absolutely demolished and then they forgot a bag. When it said bag forgotten, I lost my mind.
Yeah, that was very funny. And I love Nani stepping out of bounds from their own smoke stuff. Very funny. Which shows like Emerald is very much like a house of cards waiting to just crumble. All they gotta do is give them a little push and they'll turn on each other's very quickly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, speaking of that, so like then we get to the house and the plan becomes pretty evident that it's like Bettina, or Emmy are going to get thrown in. And it's like both of them want to be the house vote so that they or the agency vote so that they can decide who's going to be put in. Good for Bettina for even thinking of this. Right. And being like, I'm going to go back to Sapphire. Just like, let me take my shot. She's talking to Tori, who's probably the right person who's like ear she could maybe catch with this information. So I was impressed with Bettina there. But like, I don't understand, and I'm sorry to Nani, and Nani had a great performance before she stepped out of bounds, presumably to no fault of her own. Like, it really seemed like she couldn't see.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Emerald is so concerned about someone infiltrating them.
I think it's just like the mojo thing. I think kind of like deep down, they have to know, like, they're a good team, they're winning, but they're not like this, you know, juggernaut that can't be stopped. So I think they know they have something going that if you put someone else in there, maybe it'll mix it up. But I still think even if you put someone in there, it's probably be someone pretty good because it's just one elimination.
Right.
And,
it's
and clearly, like, they don't want to talk about it. But I think, you know, having the number advantage would still be there. Like, you're still going to have six people. So I think it's maybe like an ego thing. They don't want to mess up the mojo thing. They just like, they all like each other. Like, obviously Casey and Nani are together, so they don't want to be split up. So I think it's like kind of all those factors kind of combining.
Yeah. I just think like Tori to me seemed the most pressed, and it made the least sense for her to be so pressed because like, if someone's going to bump someone from Emerald, it's going to be Nani. So to me, the men have reason to be pressed because, like, when it's their elimination, because there's still this weird alliance. They said on the after show that there was an aquamarine alliance between Sapphire and Emerald. So that's why later Kyle apologizes to Nelson and says, like, I should have bumped out Emmanuel. So, like, he's vulnerable, even though he's really strong. So they might make a decision not based on, like, athletic ability. Josh and Devin, it's probably a toss-up, although I would mostly expect Josh to get bumped, but who knows? So all three men would be vulnerable to being bumped out. But it would just be Nani. Like, there's no contest. This is not even just a shit on Nani. There's no contest between who's weaker, between Nani and Tori and Casey.
Yeah. So, like, for Casey's side of it, I could see why, you know, she'd be pretty strong to protect Nani. But, yeah, for Tori, again, I think maybe she just likes Nani and just wants to work with her and doesn't want to work with someone that she doesn't fully trust or doesn't really know. So I think that's really all it comes down to.
All right, but we go to the club scene. We already talked about Amanda, but Caitlin Glancy says, do you like or love Amanda's strategy to avoid elimination, first stirring up Emmy and then threatening Emerald with infiltration? P.S. I call bullshit on Devin saying her threats had no effect on them.
Yeah, it was great. She took the game in her own hands. She didn't let someone else kind of do it for her. She said, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to see Isle of Elimination. Good for her to say that. And I thought she played it well. Like, it was a type of move where I think Nani said, like, we know what you're doing, but like, because like, it's still effective. Like, all if their main goal was not to have someone infiltrate, at least her voicing it put the fear in them. So they're like, you know, it's not even worth it.
I think there's a 100% chance that, and I don't even care if Amanda says she wasn't going to do it, Amanda would have infiltrated if she got called on it, like for spite. Definitely. Like, even if she didn't want to, like, there's no world.
Yeah, she tanked her own game with Zach out of spite.
Right.
Like, she was not like, she'll for sure go to a team that's presumably stronger. So absolutely she would do that.
The only question I had about Amanda's moves here, and again, I really thought, you know, 9 out of 10 from Amanda. Bettina says to her, like, I'm going to pick Big T if it's physical, and I'm going to pick Emmy if it's a puzzle. And Amanda goes to camera and is like, bullshit, and then goes to work advocating for Emmy to be the vote in. That is a very believable thing from Bettina. Like, why does Amanda think she's lying to her?
I think because Bettina and Big T are pretty, I think they're close, right? Aren't they friends? So I think in her mind, she's like, well, she's not going to call out Big T. They're pretty close. So she's going to call out me in that spot.
I don't know. Like, it seemed from the edit, at least, that Corey's her only friend.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seemed. But I could have sworn they were friends. I thought Big D was like that whole thing, right? She was working with a lot of the rookie girls. So I thought she like had her on her side.
At least that would make more sense. So maybe that's true. And I just forgot. The Emmy and Bettina fight was tough for me to watch because it was just Amanda expertly done. Put enough salt basalt into the water with Emmy. And then those two women were just completely talking past each other. I don't know if alcohol was the enemy or it was just like they had already decided, but they both seemed to think they were like coming to make peace and just couldn't get there.
Yeah, and it was very similar to, I felt like, a lot of the fights that Amber would have in the beginning of the season, where she was like, yeah, I'm just coming to you because I don't understand why people don't like me. And again, Emmy didn't really have a reason. And Bettina was like, oh, it's been nice to you. Why don't you not like me? And Emmy just blew up at her. So again, it must be something we're not fully seeing with Bettina that people aren't clicking to or something. Or maybe now that's kind of a pattern that maybe Emmy and some of these other people aren't the nicest people or hard to like get along with. So I don't know what it is. But from our my perspective, Bettina just seems like a pretty nice girl. Just maybe not the most athletic, but like seems pretty nice to get along with.
And look, you know, Emmy is so volatile where like, and Amanda played this expertly where, you know, Emmy later spends the entire episode agreeing that she's terrible at puzzles and would be afraid to go against Bettina on a puzzle. So like what she said about her wasn't even offensive. Like it wasn't even half as offensive as the stuff Emmy has said about Bettina, but she is just like a grain of sand and like a microchip or whatever. Like she just fully shuts down. And to that end, Zex and Claire wants to know, it's a bit odd that they cut scenes halfway through Emmy's tantrum. Do you think that they're trying to protect her a bit, or were we given just the gist of what happened and that's all we needed to see?
Yeah, probably a combination. I think we got a good sense of it, of what that. I mean, Emmy blows up at people. I feel like we got a good sense of why they kind of just let it play out. It was weird. They kind of like jump cut from seemingly like them going at each other to the next morning. Like that was weird. But within the club, yeah, I think it all kind of played out as much as we needed.
I was so distracted. Oh, but to Zach's point, like, yeah, I do think they have a lot invested in Emmy. Like, I definitely think they want Emmy to keep coming back and us to like her. And this was probably not that likable of a moment for her. But no. Emmy starts screaming and Logan says, kill her? Is that what he said?
I missed that.
I have to go back. what did you think of the team approach? Later on the after show, Devin says that if Emmy didn't want to go in, they would have never thrown her in. But this did feel like a little group think of like Devin and Tori and basically everyone, Nani, everybody is there like massaging and manipulating Emmy into going into the elimination.
Yeah, it was a great team effort. It was like not even good cop, bad cop. It was like good cop, but they each kind of like hit different points to get Emmy to kind of come around to it, because yeah, she came into it like, I'm really not certain about what I want to do, and they really just like hammered a few different points of, you can join your different team, you'll knock out an easier opponent. Like they really hit it home pretty well, so it was very masterfully done.
The only thing but again, I do think they're playing against somebody who's very malleable and wants to just like defer to the vets. So it's sort of like shooting a fish in a barrel here. But does Devin or Tori, one of them says like, my only concern is keeping my team strong. And Emmy's like, no, I totally understand. Like they straight up say to her, we don't care about you in the game. We only care about protecting our team. But no, otherwise it's very well done. And my question is, I mean, I feel like we can yada yada deliberation in a way where it's really just Emmy's going to go in, but let me know if I'm missing anything huge. Is this the right move for Emmy?
So that's a good question. So is it the right move? So if you believe what everyone's saying, that if she said, I don't want to go in, don't send me in, they vote in Bettina. She probably calls out Amanda or Big T. She's not calling out Emmy, most likely. So I think I always lean toward not going into elimination, because it kind of, again, like we said with Kyle at the start, we don't know what the format of a final is. There's still many more spots to go in. Emmy's very likely just to get voted in again because she's a rookie. So I think she could, if she could avoid one here and then just go into the next one, I think that's probably more the move, because she's a good chance she's just going to go into the next one anyway. So you might as well stay safe for one.
Yeah. Plus, if Bettina ends up calling out Big T and Big T loses, I mean, I think Big T would have beaten Bettina in this elimination, but let's say Big T loses. Ruby does get somewhat stronger because Bettina goes back to Sapphire, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's sort of a plus one for Emmy's situation. If Amanda gets out of the game, I think Bettina goes back to Sapphire. If Amanda wins or Big T wins, I think Big T's leaving Ruby anyway. So, like, again, like, I do think her team would get stronger almost no matter what outcome happens if she doesn't go in. Go ahead.
No, that was it. You're good.
I also don't think this was the right move for Emerald, though. And I know I'm harping, like, why are they so scared? They suppressed, but like having Sapphire get rid of Bettina and plan to have her replaced with Emmy, like, decreases Emerald's chances of winning by what, 25%, 30%, 40%?
Yeah, so there was almost no scenario really where I don't, like, Bettina was going to get into this elimination in some way, and based off how she performed, was going to lose almost guaranteed. So it was more so, are you okay with, let's say it's Amanda, you know, you vote in Bettina, she calls out Amanda, and Amanda wins. So is it better for Emerald that Amanda's there or that Emmy's there? And I guess for their sake, it's probably better that, would have been better for Amanda to be there because Emmy's stronger. So, but I don't think it's that much of a material difference. And here, at least you're gaining favor from people. So I think maybe gaining the favor could be a little bit better.
I think the best move for them would have been giving Bettina what she wants, but then having Tori say, if we're going to let you be the vote, you need to call in Big T. Because Big T wins, I think she's infiltrating Sapphire to be with CT and Kyle. And if Bettina wins, she's staying with Sapphire. And I just think it's a mistake to have Emmy allowed to join CT on Sapphire. But we'll see.
Yeah, the only thing with that, I feel like if you're Emerald and you're, especially someone like Nani, I feel like you want to keep either a Bettina or Big T, like, in there for if you go down there, it gives you an option to call one of them out.
Well, you are. If they go against each other, one of them's coming out.
Right. I guess that's true. I guess that's true. Yeah, so you can go with that.
And that would be a good point if they thought there was a world where Bettina was going to beat Emmy, and then they're like, well, at least there's like a 1 in 100 shot that, like, it's a puzzle, or not even, probably a 25% chance it's a puzzle, and Emmy, we lose Emmy, great. So maybe there was something to that that we just didn't see on camera.
Yeah.
But the other, like, thing I want to talk about with this that we got a question about that I was thinking about too. We have this sort of semi-strategic conversation between CT and Emmy, where CT floats the idea of Emmy picking Big T in the elimination.
Yep.
And Mike says, I get Emmy not thinking it through, but how did CT not recommend Emmy go against Big T and then steal Bettina's spot on Sapphire? By taking her out, you're hurting yourself by making the team you'll join smaller.
I think in his mind, he kind of wants a smaller team. I feel like he feels... smaller, like you got less people floating around. You can have smaller, stronger people than a few extra parts. Like, he doesn't think that much of Amanda. I think Amanda's stronger than he thinks she is, but I don't think he thinks that much of her. So they lose a couple people, and it just, you know, Kyle, Ashley, and Emmy. I think he'd prefer that, honestly.
Do you think we're going to see Ashley throw herself in or get thrown in and then replace Big T? Well, maybe she'd go against Big T. Or replace Big T to rejoin Amanda. And then they've got a really strong team on Ruby.
Mm. I don't think so. I don't think she would, unless it was just, again, the kind of like what they've hinted at, the save.
Well, that's Amanda. What, yeah, well, you said, yeah. Maybe that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's possible. They kind of hinted at it. I don't know. I feel like that would be out of character for Ashley. I don't know if, like, she had that, like, all built up. I don't know. And then it didn't happen. Like, she didn't have to do anything. So I don't know if, like, you rebuild that energy up to do it. So I don't know. The one thing about the nominations I thought was interesting, they made a point of showing TJ say, do not deadlock. They haven't said that, yeah, in the previous other ones. I thought that was interesting. I was like, oh, they're really about the tie, but I thought maybe they're sitting at another tie to come. I just thought it was interesting that they even pointed to that outcome possibly.
I did too, because I remember thinking, I was like, they're always going to be in unison, and you were like, no, they might not. So when CJ said that, I was like, oh, here we go. Tori said in the after show that, like, she maybe was going to agree with Bettina, but, like, she's only one vote out of six, so she didn't have the votes. So it kind of seemed like they were all on a united front. And at least for Emerald at this stage, I think, again, like, they're so rah-rah that I doubt they would get to a 3-3 split over this, but...
Yep.
Maybe just soon.
Yep.
Definitely. I already don't like the way it plays out in the dailies that they're uneven teams. But the only benefit of doing the uneven teams is that it should factor in you not wanting to turn against your own team to cut your knees off. Cut your knees off, cut yourself off at the knees. Whoop. And
that was amazing.
It's just the fact that this didn't happen was annoying to me. Like, the fact that the plan is to still take a shot at your own team that you're going to end up wanting to join. It's like, all right, well, then definitely sit people out because it's not even affecting the strategy.
Yeah, definitely sit. Like, bottom line, set people out to even it. I mean, unless in their mind, they're like, you know what, they win, they deserve to have the advantage of extra people. But for, like, I guess that's one fair thing to say, but like for a TV show entertainment perspective, it's not playing out that great.
Agreed. Seeing not playing out that great, the Lair Challenge.
Ooh, phew, I thought you were saying this podcast. Okay, good.
that's implied.
Bombs away. I thought it was actually, I thought it was a pretty cool elimination. You had to swing a missile at five targets. Clearly one of those things where you need to like build up momentum and, you know, the all technique based. But I mean, the problem was Patina just like had no idea what she was doing. And one of these things always doesn't make sense to me. Like, you have people shouting out help.
Yeah.
You don't have like an earpiece. Like, Patina can hear the help.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't she listen to the help that is going to Emmy?
It was very strange. I mean, like they said this in the confessionals, but it was like Bettina was like catching the rope, stopping all the moment. Like, she just fundamentally didn't understand the challenge.
Yep, didn't get it. Which sucks, I do think I was really rooting for her. Like, I thought, I would have loved to see her come back and kind of mess things up. I don't know what she would have done, but I thought it would have been a lot just to have her in the house. I think that would be very much more interesting at this point, but just wasn't even close.
Especially because my first pick in the draft is now teamed up with CT towards the back half of the challenge, and it's not looking so great for me.
Right. Not great.
I didn't love this challenge because I don't mind it in principle, but I kind of wish the rocket, like, you had to like move it. So you had to disrupt your own momentum and like move it more at a diagonal or move it the other way to hit the targets. Like, it literally was just like, hit this one, now move it to the left and hit this one. I thought they were going to have to like balance like a diagonal motion.
Right. Or even one of those like carnival games where like it moves forward and back and you have to like get it to go further distance or something.
So I thought it was a little boring, partially maybe because Patina was never going to do it. So we're just waiting for Emmy to do it. So that's not necessarily a challenge design issue. User error on this one.
Yep. Patina error.
She gets a hard take care from TJ, and then also I didn't notice this, but a different Megan Elizabeth wrote in and noted that it was not digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth. As someone who is a very distinctive laugh, did they do Bettina dirty playing a haunting, echoey version of her laugh as she walks off after losing the elimination?
I didn't notice that either, but very funny. Not great for her chances of coming back. I feel like if the challenge is clowning you on your way out the door in your rookie season, I feel like that's not a good sign for you to be coming back.
There was no world at any point in the season did I think Patina was going to come back, least of all during her elimination. Like, the least surprising thing of all is when TJ hit her with the hard take care.
Yep. See you later, Patina.
And we never remembered you again. no surprise even that Emmy infiltrates Sapphire, takes Amanda's spot. How about this take from Steve F? I want to state what is maybe a minority opinion. I'm thrilled that the vets keep dominating. These rookies are mostly terrible, and I like the idea that they need to be on a few seasons before they have any real shot of making it far. And then, I don't know, we needed this, Steve F. I know this week you are both going to be complaining about how it's yet another week of an elimination between two rookies, but I, for one, am very happy about it.
Hey. We weren't complaining. We're trying to build each other up. We're the optimistic team over here. But I mean, that's fair. I like these rookies. I think there are a lot of ones that I would like to see come back. I think a lot of them have made a good name for themselves. I think it'd be interesting now that they're going to be a true veteran come next season, because that's the way it works. I think it'll be interesting to see how they do it. I just hope for next season that just have no rookies. Like, you've had like 50,000 rookies the last couple of years. Just have everyone that's been on a season for the last couple beyond, so you can see how they all do on a pseudo equal playing field and then go from there.
It's tough though, right? Because I mean, I don't think you could ever do no rookies. But when we used to just introduce a couple, then they never had a chance. And I feel like we used to be like, if only like there were enough rookies to really get something going. And then the last few seasons, there's been enough rookies to get something going. And so now it's sort of been a swing back of like, well, now the vets are going to get something going and they're not going to let their old ties like mess them up anymore and whatever. So, I mean, the pendulum swings, right? Like, this is a vets dominating season. In a couple seasons, I'm sure we'll. Maybe next season, even if they didn't bring any first-time rookies, if Corey Lay comes back and Michelle Fitzgerald comes back and a few capable rookies come back, they're not going to let this happen next season. If they have it, they're going to be Priscilla's about it. They're going to take shots. Like, they're going to, they have their legs under them now. So they're going to be maneuvering or trying to. Yeah. And then that'll be interesting. Like, this is sort of the life cycle of the challenge. I think, to our earlier point, and we feel differently about this being two rookies because there was more strategy going on. So, you know, good for Steve for staying positive. I think we're with you on this, at least this episode.
Yeah. I lean more, but I've been pretty, very positive these last few episodes with the team's shift. I thought it really breathed a new life into the season. So I'm sticking with it.
And I was shockingly positive in the beginning of the season when I had no reason to be.
Yeah.
There you go. How about that? All right. Well, thanks for staying positive, Steve. You were the only person in the comments. So after getting through everything, I was like, oh, okay. Somebody's liking this. It's good.
Fantastic. You love to see it.
There's some big stuff that happened on the after show this week.
Ooh.
Besides the stuff I integrated in already, Devin said that Nelson, he was like, I stayed quiet and I never told Kyle about this, but like after seeing Nelson this episode lay into Kyle, Nelson, every time I was in power after like Kyle did something, he was like, let's take Kyle out. Oh, that when Kyle like did the challenge and hurt Devin's chances of winning, right. Like, Nelson has been gunning to get Kyle out. So he was like, it was really hypocritical of Nelson to like have this fight with Kyle. And then Kyle said, because Kyle was also on the after show, that Amanda tipped him off that Nelson had been, he sort of said like, Amanda was like, maybe don't trust Nelson. Like, you're not so close to the people you think you're close to. And then people freaked out. Tori was like, are you kidding me? And Nelson and Amanda are so close. And Amanda always calls me fake. She did that. That's insane. And then they asked him again, like, did that happen? And Kyle was like, no, it didn't happen. So unclear.
Resolution unclear.
And then the other thing that we hadn't talked about is a Team Aquamarine, the alliance between Sapphire and Emerald. Their plan was to always have Big T and Amanda, at least one of them, on Ruby as an anchor. And then Devin later said, like, but we didn't want them both on the same team, which, like, well, then you really weren't in an alliance with Sapphire because you wanted to, quote, have an anchor on both other teams. Like, brilliant. Right. It's weird that they see Amanda as an anchor. Like, we don't see that.
I don't see that at all.
And then Becca said, you have to watch the after show. What are your thoughts on Darrell hating on Emmy? Eyes emoji. We love mess. So Darrell comes in with this cake and everyone's like giving it up to Emmy. Like, Emmy's rookie of the year. Emmy's incredible. Emmy's so great. And Darrell, like, out of nowhere is like, if they bring Michaela back, like, she'll beat your ass. It was just crazy. And I loved it, though, because like I would love Michaela to get a second chance. So like the fact that Darrell is like re-raising her, like bringing her up again, is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they get in a screaming match, like Emmy, who's like remote on Zoom in Romania, and Darrell in studio are like yelling at each other about like Michaela and whether or not Michaela could beat Emmy. And at some point Darrell goes, I don't know you. I don't want to know you. Keep doing you, which is an incredible thing to say.
You know, maybe Darrell has watched and he's making his pitch for Rivals 4. It's like, all right, I got one shot here. Let's see if I can get Emmy.
I mean, later someone said, like, Devin, like, you manipulated Emmy to like go into the elimination for you, or like CT did that. And Darrell was like, you did that? And then they played the clip.
They're also a good actor. He's playing it.
No, he has not seen the episode. The one thing he did try to get, he was really messy too, because then when they said, like, right on the whiteboard, the challenge spinoffs, he later like was like, oh, I'm just kidding, Emmy, you're great, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But on the whiteboard, he wrote Champs versus Stepdads, something like that. Something Stepdads. And Devin was like, what? And he was like, it's a Stepdads, like, you know, Fessy.
Oh, God.
And it was just like, it just didn't land. And it was like very like, I'm keeping up on Twitter. This is very, did not hit dad. But wait,
so what else besides Champ versus Stars is a challenge spinoff? I guess All Stars, but like, what else?
Those are the three. All Stars, Champs versus Stars, and Champs versus Pros.
Okay.
And they counted Spring Break Challenge, because Emmy just wrote Spring Break question mark.
Yeah, gotta mention the Camilla. She should not be named. I guess I just named her, but my bad.
It was very interesting, though, because they counted Road Rules All-Stars as the first season airing June 1st, 1998. And it was very consistent with the Wikipedia. So part of me is like, I don't know if this is what like MTV's like official records say, or if like an intern just like used Wikipedia to get the answers.
When because the conflicts with challenge stats.
Well, they were like, who was the first host of the challenge? And they counted Puck as the first ever host of the challenge, which like I guess is technically true, but it feels strange. And then Emmy wrote Mr. David. And Devin was like, you Googled that. That's it, though. So it was actually a worthwhile watch.
Good to know. There you go. All right. Drinking game. Start with our shenanigans. For the week, we had 9. Kyle thanks us for the relief of our removals.
I believe he said it was his best birthday present that that we took rules off. Which makes me feel bad, but
I also feel bad because I have one to add. But maybe I'll take one down and add one. But
no, that's perfect because I'll take one down because I have one more than you because I added one and took one down last week.
Perfect. All right. So for the ones that hit this week, we got 1 mention of the Veteran Alliance, 2 shots of Kyle's teeth, 1 slow motion in that great montage scene that was very funny. 1 challenge merch, 1 team infiltration, and 3 times Corey and Nelson on camera together. So it would be pretty mean of me to remove irrelevant Ed confessional because that does nothing for Kyle. So I'll keep that in there. I'll take out when something's blurred out. I feel like that's probably a lot of work for Kyle, so I think that would be a good one to kind of take out. So I'll remove that one. And mine's an easy one to add. So it's anytime, because Tori had a couple of these. Anytime Tori gets a confessional where it's strictly her talking about something impacting her game, that it's not even like her involvement. Like, again, like she's like, I just want to make sure my chances of making the final are good. I want to make sure my chances of winning are, like, anytime Tori has a confessional strictly talking about herself, that makes me think she's going to win. But that's just my part. But that'll be the one.
Love a subjective rule that you're going to take issue with Kyle scoring on.
Absolutely.
What are my rules again?
So you have spy music when you ship a couple. An intra-partnership disagreement, which I guess is now intra-team disagreement. Someone talks about their kids. When TJ goes off script, you have the same thing about Ed, Mitch watching Ed. A self-given nickname, challenge merch, and team infiltration.
See, I like the challenge merch, but that's probably the most annoying one. And that's only been on there for a little bit. I don't question him if he's right or wrong, so maybe that he can just make
you're
it
a better
up.
Person than I
yeah for sure well in many ways yep. But read them again. What was before Mitch Watch? I'm visual.
TJ going off script,
let's get rid of that one.
Okay.
Thank you to David Cat 777 who left us a 5-star review.
You're just removing, right? You're not adding?
Yeah, because I was one up on you because I added and removed last week.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, perfect.
So thanks to DavidCat777 who mentioned that even though we already got 2,000 reviews, they still wanted to give us a review. 125 ratings, just chef's kiss. Love it. Thank you. You go to robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes if you want to let us know how you feel. But don't review us the way you'd review the season, just to be clear.
Yeah, separate us and the season. If that adds us being positive, otherwise do the opposite. But hopefully it's like that.
I don't know you. I don't want to know you. Keep doing you.
I'm waiting for a sound effect here.
Toot toot. Wait. Beep beep. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Very little this week. Just Emmy losing a point and Patina gaining a point for their elimination loss and win. Nothing else going on.
That Emmy pick is looking worse and worse.
Not looking great. So Matt and Scally now lead 28.5-27. They are down, just a rundown of who's left for everyone. So you have Emmy, Emmanuel, Nani, and Corey all left. Scally has Logan, Devin, Tori, and Ashley. Matt has Amanda and CT. I have Josh, Big T, Kyle, and Casey.
All right. How many total people, I could look this up, how many total people does each team have left? Like, so, you and me plus.
Yeah, I have 4, 5, we have 9, they have 6.
That's which not going to
be good
for
or
us.
Bad. I mean, it depends because obviously we need people to lose elimination. But we can start be gaining points by our people losing eliminations. Like, let's get Josh into limit one. Let's get Big T into one. We start to gain points like that.
But I guess feeling
Logan's going to go home next week, so that's not great.
I guess we have, I'm trying to think, because we lose fewer points as we lose them later and later. But the fact that we're just almost. One. But I meant fewer than like they presumably lost more points because they lost people earlier. Right. Or they lost them to mostly injury. But in theory, that would be the thing, that they had more points for fewer people.
Yep.
I don't know. It's interesting. I guess it really depends on who makes the final and if we could trim some of our fat. Because we've stayed pretty equal with them and have a lot more people to gain points. So that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if all of our team makes the final.
Not great.
Salute.
Okay.
All right. No social meds, as you mentioned, because people are quiet on Twitter. I guess Twitter doesn't work in Amsterdam, but I don't know if people just couldn't watch the episode. I don't know.
I guess not.
Last
thing, going back to the club scene. I love when they include stuff like this. Amanda ordered a white wine.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
I feel like she would be more of a vodka girl. I was surprised to see her order a white wine there.
Can I get a white wine was an incredible clip to leave in. Very casual crop in.
I love it. Yeah, especially because they just show like, oh, Ashley, like, oh, it was a very real scene where Ashley's like, oh, I'm going to go to a drink. And someone said, oh, can you get me a straw? And then, oh, I'll take a white wine. It was like a very normal, like Friday night bar scene. I like that they kept that in there.
Speaking of casual crop ins, there's a very unprofessional but intentional casual crop in on New Girl Old Guy this week at the very beginning. If you want to check out me and Akiva Whitaker talking about New Girl. We talk about season 3, episode 2 this week. We're really flying there too. So check that out at anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy.
Love to see it. You can follow me on Twitter, Colin with a C, Brian with an I _. We'll be back next week for.
Follow me at Lash Tweets. Brian cares about that.
I thought you said it already. Lucky number 13 for next week. Until then, have a good one.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.